We're going to talk this morning, like he said, about the 23rd Psalm, but from a little different perspective than maybe you're used to looking at it. I know it's something that we've all probably known since we were little children, especially if we've grown up in the church. But it wasn't until recently that I looked at it in this perspective. And so we are going to take a look at the 23rd Psalm and see what we can learn in there about how we can bring health to our bodies as well as to our minds and to our spirits. Is it up? So let's take a look first at the very first part, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. First of all, if the Lord is my shepherd, then what does that make me? His sheep. Okay, so if I am the sheep, then who do you think knows best how to take care of me? Me as the sheep or the shepherd? The shepherd. So if the shepherd's job is to care for his sheep and to provide for all of their needs. If we are under the care of the good shepherd, then we can be assured that he will meet all our needs. So, if we are going to find out how to be healthy, do you think it would be wise to ask the shepherd or to consult the sheep? Okay, so that's what we're going to do this morning. The shepherd knows how to keep his sheep in good health, and he does not want a flock of sickly sheep, does he? No, he has provided all that his sheep need in order to be in the best of health. So we are going to discover what it is that he has provided to keep his sheep well and healthy. So we're going to keep on going through the rest of Psalm 23 and see if we can discover what that is. Psalm 23, verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Doesn't that look like a nice place to be? I wouldn't mind being there right now. That looks so peaceful. The good shepherd makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. This is where we're going to find our first principle for wellness, and that is rest and sleep. In order for the sheep to be healthy, they must have adequate rest. Rest is important for our bodies. When we're sleeping, our body is repairing itself. It's getting ready for the next day. It releases important hormones. And in children especially, sleep is very important because that is when their bodies grow most efficiently. Now, our bodies need at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night. And sleep before midnight is more beneficial than sleep after midnight. So it's better to go to bed early and to get up early than to stay up late and then sleep in the morning. So you want to plan your evenings so that you can get to bed on time. You want to make sure that you don't eat within 3 hours of going to bed because that can interfere with your sleep because your stomach can't rest and you won't get as good a rest. You don't want to exercise too close to going to bedtime because that gets your body all energized. You want to have a relaxing routine. Take a shower, read a book, have your personal devotional time. And keep going to bed at the same time each night so that your body gets into that routine and is used to that, and it makes it easier to fall asleep because your body knows that that's what comes next. Ellen White says, give yourselves proper time to sleep. Those who sleep give nature time to build up and repair the waste of the organism. Now, this sleep that we have at night is important, but not only do we need that sleep and that rest, but we need a weekly rest as well. That's why we're here today, and the Good Shepherd designed us that we function best if we have that weekly rest on the Sabbath day. Now, let's look again at this verse. There's something else that we can find here on our quest for wellness. First of all, where do we find green pastures? Are they in our houses? Are they at the office? Where is the green pasture? It's outdoors. That's right. The sheep aren't lying down in the barn to rest. They're outside in the pasture. So what else do we find outside? We find fresh air and we find sunshine. Two more principles for wellness that we need to remember. First of all, we'll talk about the fresh air. We need fresh air in order to have good, pure blood and healthy bodies. Fresh air helps to promote many healthy functions in our bodies. So you want to try to keep your windows open to allow the fresh air to blow through. You want to make sure that you practice taking big, deep breaths, not shallow breathing, just, but every once in a while, just slow, deep breaths from way down low to get a lot of good, fresh air. Ellen White says, air, the precious boon of heaven, which all may have, will bless you with its invigorating influence if you will not refuse it entrance. Welcome it, cultivate a love for it, and it will prove a precious soother of the nerves. Air must be in constant circulation to be kept pure. The influence of pure, fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthfully through the system. It refreshes the body and tends to render it strong and healthy, while at the same time its influence is decidedly felt upon the mind, imparting a degree of composure and serenity. It excites the appetite and renders the digestion of food more perfect and induces sound and sweet sleep. Does that sound like something we all could use? Yeah, I think we all need fresh air. We also need sunshine in order to be healthy. The minimum amount of sunshine that we need is 15 minutes a day to our hands and to our face. More of that if you're darker skinned. Vitamin D is produced in our bodies when we have exposure to sunlight, and that is very important to our health. Sunlight also is important in regulating our mood and our mental outlook. It improves our immune system, which helps us to fight off sickness, and it helps us regulate our sleep-wake cycle. We're told that nature is God's physician. The pure air, the glad sunshine, the beautiful flowers and trees, the orchards and vineyards, and outdoor exercise amid these surroundings are health-giving, the elixir of life. So let's move on to the rest of that verse, Psalm 23:2, the last part. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Good Shepherd provides plenty of water for his sheep, and this is our fourth principle for wellness. The sheep have to have water to live, and we are just like sheep. We need to have water to live as well. Oh, that sounds better. Okay. The Good Shepherd doesn't provide his sheep with soda or tea or coffee or juice or cow's milk to drink. He provides them with water, and that is what he has provided for us to drink as well. He intends for us to drink water in order to stay healthy. Every day you need to be drinking at least an ounce of water for every 2 pounds that you weigh. That comes out to about 8 to 12 glasses of water for most adults. That's the minimum that you need. If it's a hot day and you're outside sweating and you're working hard, then you need to be drinking even more water to replenish what you're losing in sweat. You have to drink even if you don't feel thirsty. If you're feeling thirsty, that means you're already starting to get dehydrated. So you need to just keep drinking water. You need to drink enough that it keeps your urine pale and not yellow. Drinking juice or soda during the day does not count for your water intake. You need water. Does any of you have pets? What do you give them to drink? If they're thirsty, do you pour them a glass of soda? How about a cup of coffee in the morning to wake them up? No? Do you give your baby a cup of coffee in the morning to wake them up? No. It sounds awfully silly, but it's just as silly for us to put those things into our bodies when what they need to have is water. God knows what is best for us. I don't think he created in the Garden of Eden a soda fountain or a juice fountain for Adam and Eve to go to when they were thirsty. He gave them fresh, pure water. And water is what he still intends for his people to drink. We're told that in health and in sickness, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings. Its proper use promotes health. It is the beverage which God provided to quench the thirst of animals and man. drunk freely, it helps to supply the necessities of the system and assist nature to resist disease. Okay, let's move on to Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. The Good Shepherd doesn't just provide refreshment and restoration physically for his sheep through the water and the rest that we just talked about, but he provides restoration for the soul as well. He promises rest for the weary of heart and living water for the thirsty. So here we find the spiritual and mental rest and the spiritual and mental water that we need for wellness. The abiding rest is found when all self-justification, all reasoning from a selfish standpoint is put away. Entire self-surrender and acceptance of His ways is the secret of perfect rest in His love. We must learn His meekness and lowliness before we can experience the fulfillment of the promise, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." It is by learning the habits of Christ that self becomes transformed, by taking His yoke and then submitting to learn. And that are some of the things that we're going to be learning here today. Jesus also told us that He is the living water. Do you remember that story with the woman at the well? He not only provides us physical water, but He provides us with spiritual water as well. All who drink of Him will never thirst again. Restless, craving, exhausted heart, think of the Savior's words, "Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Drink from the wells of worldly pleasure, and you will thirst again. Drink of the water of life, and you will be satisfied and refreshed, for it will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Love and light and truth and life are found in the everlasting gospel. "Come, ye who labor and are heavy laden, come to the living water. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The Good Shepherd provides for the physical as well as the mental and spiritual needs of his sheep. He provides for health of body, mind, and spirit. This area of wellness goes along with the rest and the water. This is just the other aspect of them. So let's go on to the rest of Psalm 23:3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So the Good Shepherd leads His sheep in paths that are right. This indicates that there are other paths that we might take, or David would not have had to specify that He leads in paths of righteousness. So we know that the path the Good Shepherd takes His sheep on is the path of right doing, the path that will bring Him honor and glory. We find this principle again in 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." This is staying on the right path. And again in Colossians 3:20, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So this is where we find our next principle for wellness, and it's living temperately. True temperance teaches us to dispense entirely with everything harmful and to use judiciously that which is helpful. That is our definition of temperance. This is staying on the path of righteousness, what is right, not turning to the left and not turning to the right. This means that we should not eat, drink, or use, or do anything that would be harmful to our bodies and to our health. So some obvious things for us to avoid would be alcohol, tobacco, street drugs, caffeine. But not only are we supposed to avoid the bad things, we are supposed to use carefully and wisely the things that are good. So we have to be careful about how we eat. Even if we're eating the very best of food, if we eat too much of it, it's no longer a good thing. And the Bible also talks about overeating and those who are being gluttons, that it's better to put a knife to your throat than to be a glutton. So this is an important part of temperance. Now, this doesn't just apply to food either. Anything, if it is used too much or too little, can make it a bad thing. We can be intemperate in work, in play, in sleep, in the way we use our time. We must find the balance. Work is good, but not if we become a workaholic. And it's also not good if we don't work at all. Sleep is good, but too much is bad for me, and so is too little. We must use the good things in moderation. This is being temperate in all things. This is following the Good Shepherd in paths of righteousness or right doing for his name's sake. And really, this applies to every aspect of our lives. The way we talk, the way we eat, the way we dress, the way we spend our time. Everything needs to be temperate and to his honor and glory. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here the Good Shepherd is taking his sheep where most likely they do not want to go. Does anybody want to go through the valley of the shadow of death? No. It's not fun to be in that place. But this is where we find our next principle for wellness, and that is exercise. Yea, though I walk, the shepherd walks his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. The sheep need exercise. If all they do is eat and sleep and rest all day, they will get fat and weak and unhealthy. Even though it's not considered the fun thing to do, the sheep need to walk. And we need exercise too. Sometimes making the effort to exercise feels to us like the valley of the shadow of death, but we need to go through it. Exercise is needed to keep our muscles strong and healthy. And going through the valley of the shadow of death also gives us the opportunity to exercise, not just physically, but to exercise our faith in the Good Shepherd. This exercise is also needful in order for our spiritual muscles to grow and to be strong and healthy. Exercise aids in digestion. It helps our heart and our lungs and our circulation. It improves our mood and our thinking. Ellen White says that exercise is indispensable to the health of every organ. If one set of muscles is used to the neglect of others, the living machinery is not being worked intelligently. So if you're just sitting in the office and using your mind and exercising your mind all day, that is not healthy. We need to exercise our body as well. When physical exercise is taken, the circulation is quickened. The heart receives blood faster and sends it to the lungs faster. The lungs work more vigorously, furnishing a greater amount of blood, which is sent with stronger power through the entire being. Exercise gives new life and strength to every part of the body. Now, walking is one of the best ways to get exercise. We need exercise at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And we need to do this at moderate intensity. That means that you can talk while you're exercising, but you can't sing. You'd be too short of breath to sing a song while you're exercising. If you can sing and you're exercising, you know you're not doing it hard enough, and you need to work a little harder, walk a little faster. You can also bicycle, swim, or do water aerobics. Gardening and yard work are also great ways to get exercise. If you're not accustomed to it, though, you want to start slow and work up to your goal over 1 to 2 months. But any exercise that you start to do in addition to what you have already been doing will give you benefits and will improve your health, even if it's only a little bit at a time. Here again, in our exercise, we also find the principles that we discussed earlier, fresh air and sunshine. Because when you go for a walk, where do you usually go? It's not usually in your house around and around in circles unless maybe it's raining and you don't have a choice. It's outside in the fresh air and the sunshine. There are but few who realize that in order to enjoy health and cheerfulness, they must have an abundance of sunlight, pure air, and physical exercise. So when you go outside for a walk, you can check 3 things off your list to wellness all at once. You get your exercise and your fresh air and your sunshine. Let's look at the last part of that verse. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here we find the most important principle for wellness, an entire trust in God. The sheep know the shepherd, and they trust that he is able and that he will protect and provide for them. This knowledge and trusting relationship brings them comfort even in the valley of the shadow of death. They faithfully follow wherever he leads them because they trust him. We also need to trust entirely in the good shepherd as well. It doesn't do any good just to say that we trust him. We have to live out that trust. We have to live moment by moment trusting in him and not in ourselves. Psalm 103, 2-5 assures us of the many reasons that we have to trust him. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Here is our source of healing and strength and wellness. It's not the doctors or the medications we take or our own efforts that heal us. It's the power of God, and we need to put our trust in him and in his ways and not in our own. Ellen White says, "Never think that in the human being is the power to heal the sick. You are to depend much more than you have done on the cooperation of the great physician in the work of healing disease. Your faith is to lay hold upon the efficacy of Christ to make effectual the effort put forth for the recovery of the sick. This is the most important aspect of wellness. It is only by cooperating with God as he gives us power to change that we may be able to make the changes we need to and to maintain wellness. We may attempt to make changes in our diet, in our exercise, or in temperance, but these changes will not be permanent unless we have God's help and his power working in our lives, unless we're trusting entirely in him." Psalm 23:5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Here we see the good shepherd providing food for his sheep. So here we find our principle for wellness, nutrition. Notice that the verse didn't say, "I eat." It said, "The shepherd prepares a table before me." So the shepherd is particular about what he wants his sheep to eat. They don't just eat whatever they want to and go into whatever pasture they want to graze in to find food. Sheep need proper nutrition in order to be well and to stay well. So what kind of food does the shepherd provide for his sheep? Let's take a look at Genesis 1:29. Here we find God's original plan for man's diet. Genesis 1:29. "And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." So this is the food that God intended for us to eat. And it is only in eating the food that he has prepared that we will find the wellness that we seek. So what does this mean? We need to eat largely of ripe, raw fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds. These are the foods that the shepherd provided for his sheep to eat. Now notice something else about that verse. It said, "You've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's right. Was the food that God gave to man in the Garden of Eden not also in the presence of the enemy? The enemy was there, wasn't he? And he was tempting them to eat of food that had been prohibited for them to eat. The enemy is still right there in our presence, doing all in his power to entice us to eat of his food instead of the food the Good Shepherd has provided for us. And he is very crafty, and we must watch out for him. He has prepared lots of food that he wants us to eat, but his food is intended to break down our physical and spiritual powers instead of building them up. We must avoid the food of the enemy. Cheese, meat, spices, we need to avoid these as much as possible or cut them out of our diet entirely. We need to limit dairy products, sugar, high-fat foods, highly processed foods. Those aren't things that the Good Shepherd provided for his sheep to eat, and they are not the best choice of food for us. We need to eat our food more closely to the way that it's grown in as natural a state as possible. This is the way we get the most nutritional value. The more processed and refined the food is, the more and more it has lost the value that it originally had. Now we find things fortified and enriched, but it's because they've taken out all the good stuff and then they add a little bit back in. And to make us think it's good for us, they say, oh, this is enriched with this and this and this and this. But if we would eat it how it was created to be eaten, it has even more nutritional value. We need to eat a large breakfast, a medium lunch, and a small supper if we have supper at all. Our meals should be spaced 5 to 6 hours apart so that our stomach can completely digest the previous meal and have time to rest before we put more food in it again. We should eat nothing in between meals so that our digestion is not interrupted. Studies have shown that even taking one bite of food or candy in between meals can arrest digestion and cause a delay in stomach emptying. In one study, volunteers who ate 2 bites of chocolate between each meal 3 days later still had some of the food in their stomach from that first day because of the effect of eating in between meals. Because what happens is your stomach is working and working and digesting the food and getting ready to empty it out, and then you add new food which isn't digested yet, so your stomach has to stop emptying out the food that was already ready to be let out into your intestines, and it has to start the digestion process all over again until the new food you put in is ready to be released. And then if you add more food again before it was finished releasing that, the remains of what was first put in there can still be in your stomach. Now imagine, after 3 days, the food that you ate 3 days ago for breakfast, you think it's very good? It might have been good and healthy when you started, but after 3 days in your stomach, I don't think it's so healthy anymore. It might not be the best food you want to make good blood with. You can't make good blood with rotten food. So if you're hungry in between meals, instead of taking a bite of crackers or apple, even if it's healthy food, it doesn't matter. You need to drink water. Drinking water will help to keep you from feeling hungry, and it won't interfere with your digestion like eating the food does. Now, it may seem hard at first to deny your appetite and to make changes in your diet, but I encourage you to stick with it. Your taste buds change, and every 30 days, you get new taste buds. So if you start cutting out some of these foods that you like but that aren't good for you, and you start replacing them with good foods, it might not taste good at first, but if you stick with it, eventually you get new taste buds, and if that's the kind of food they're accustomed to eating, then that's what will be enjoyable to you. But if you go back and you start snitching on the other stuff because you liked it, then your taste buds are going to be, oh, I remember that, that was good stuff. And you're going to have trouble. So you've got to be consistent in sticking with your new plan. And if you're consistent in sticking with it, your taste buds will be consistent as well, and you'll start enjoying your food. We are told that indulged appetite is the greatest hindrance to mental improvement and soul sanctification. Indulgence of appetite is the greatest cause of physical and mental debility and lies largely at the foundation of feebleness and premature death. Intemperance begins at our tables when we use an unwise combination of foods. Let the individual who is seeking to possess purity of spirit bear in mind that in Christ there is power to control the appetite. We're going to move on to Psalm 23, verse 5, the last part. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, when something happens to the sheep, the shepherd takes care of them. And back in the Bible times, what the shepherds did was they used oil and special salves that they made with oil and with other things that they would treat the wounds of the sheep with. This wasn't just an anointing, like we would think of an anointing and putting oil on the head. This was actually something that they used as something healing for the sheep. They would also use it to prevent the flies and the bugs that bothered the sheep from getting on them and from bothering them. And so here we find the shepherd treating his sheep and taking care of their sickness and suffering. This oil was a balm for wounds and a treatment against insects and pests that bothered the sheep. So the good shepherd has a solution and a plan for caring for their needs. And so for us, he has a plan for caring for our needs when we are sick and suffering. So here we find another important principle, and this is natural remedies. The sheep didn't call the vet and take them into the doc. I mean, the shepherd didn't call the vet and take them into the doctor to see what was wrong and to treat them. He did it himself with natural means. God has provided in the things of nature ways for us to prevent sickness as well as ways to aid in healing. Ellen White says that there are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Pure air and water, cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and a firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires work that the people do not appreciate. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, and clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all with but little expense. But drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and in the effect produced upon the system. So the Good Shepherd has something better that he has provided for healing, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. God does anoint us with the oil of his Holy Spirit to heal our wounds, to soothe our hurts, and to protect us against the attack of the enemy that constantly assails us. He is indeed a good shepherd, and there is nothing that we need that he has not already made provision for, that we may find our health and our wholeness in him. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. Now, if we follow these principles, in the final part of Psalm 23:5, we see my cup runneth over. Here we see that the sheep are so well cared for that they not only have sufficient, but they have more than enough. Their cup overflows. Wouldn't you like to be overflowing with good health? I know I would. It is possible with the Good Shepherd, but we have to cooperate with him and follow his guidelines for our lives. The use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient, it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice, but in the end, it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. And that is what all of us want. So as we finish Psalm 23 in the last verse, verse 6, if we have followed all these things, our cup will be overflowing, and we can claim this promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise for the faithful sheep of the Good Shepherd. What a life he has promised to the sheep that follow his principles for life and for wellness. So what have we learned about wellness from the 23rd Psalm? Let's review for just a minute. First of all, we have just put it in an order so that it's easy to remember. So we have put it in the acronym wellness. These are the things that we just talked about. First of all, we have water. And we learned that it's important to drink plenty of water. And water is also very beneficial applied externally as a natural remedy when we have sickness and disease. And then we have exercise. We all need to be getting plenty of exercise every day. Live temperately, avoiding those things that are bad for us and using wisely the things that are good. L, lots of fresh air. We need to be breathing fresh air, keeping our windows open, taking deep breaths. N, for nutrition. We learned what God's plan for our nutrition is. We need to be eating fruits, nuts, grains, vegetables, and avoiding the food that the enemy has prepared for us. E, entire trust in God. This is our most important principle, and we need to be trusting in God and His ways instead of our own. S is sunshine. We need that sunshine every day. It helps our mood. It gives us our vitamin D production. And finally, the last S, sleep and Sabbath rest. Very important for our bodies to regenerate and to invigorate us and to give us the power to live our lives, especially with Sabbath rest. If we will follow the Good Shepherd and make the choice to be obedient sheep, then He has promised us a life of health. Not only physical health, but mental and spiritual health as well. The Good Shepherd wants to restore us to complete health, that we may be presented as a living sacrifice to God, holy and without blemish. This isn't just a matter of good health for today, or for tomorrow, or even for the next year. It's for eternity. If we choose today to surrender to the Good Shepherd, to obey His commands and follow wherever He leads, then when the Chief Shepherd appears, we will receive that crown of glory that does not fade away. And we will be able to say with David the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May we all give ourselves unreservedly to the Good Shepherd today, that He may work in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Will you please stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for the opportunity that we have today to come here and to learn of You and Your ways and Your promise that if we follow You and that we trust in You, that we can have the health and the happiness that we desire, not only in this life here, but most importantly, in the life to come that You have promised to those who are faithful to You. May we make that decision today that we will surrender, that we will make the sacrifices that we need to make, that we may truly be Your sheep and follow You wherever You are leading us. This is our prayer, and may You give us the strength to go forward today and to do what You have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.